You are listening to the cycling podcast at the 2023 Tour de France Femmes. Today, we're in Pau.
Pour la vainqueur, la meilleure, celle qui est sur la plus haute marche du podium, c'est Demi Vollering.
Well, that was the sound of Demi Vollering being crowned, the yellow jersey, the maillot jaune, if I said that very well.
Yeah, I think you said maillot jaune. I think you're getting a little confused with the jaune d'Italia.
Oh, yeah. The Malia. No.
Maillot jaune.
It's been like this a week, though, Jenny.
Rose, how many beers have you had already? I know it's the end of the Tour de France.
I've had a tiny. We did. But I literally all week with Jenny, I've been slipping into Italian. Sometimes I just slip into Croatian, but never French.
Being a polyglot.
If a polyglot could also mean not being good at any languages, also being both as rubbish at all languages equally, I guess.
Thankfully, Rose, you're quite good at English, because that's good, because we've got a podcast for you to present tonight, haven't we?
We do in English, thank goodness. And yes, I was going to say that was Demi Vollering taking her yellow jersey. There was a huge crowd actually in Pau, and they were lining the time trial route, weren't they, Denny? And Demi Vollering didn't get the biggest cheer of the day, it has to be said. The biggest cheer of the day actually went to Cedrine Kerbal. The white jersey winner, but a bit more about that later. Well, Denny, where are we? Here we're in a very buzzy, lively place. It's the most buzzy place we've been all tour. It's lovely here, isn't it?
It's really nice. We're in kind of Pau Old Town at a bar called Le Piano Sans Nuit. Really kind of a hive of excitement and activity, and everyone out kind of enjoying a kind of cooler evening than we've been used to on this tour. It's a nice scene, isn't it? Kind of toddlers mixing with adults. Very happy atmosphere.
That will explain if there are some toddlers playing recorders. So if you do hear some rather shrill recorder music, that is what is going on there. But yes, we've got our beers in hand. And Lizzie, I've seen actually for the first time, you've poured yourself a beer as well.
I've poured myself a Quack for an absolutely Quackers Tour de France. It says on the bottle, a true Belgian original. So clearly tipping its hat to Lotte Kopecky there. But yes, beer in hand, celebrate the end of Tour de France Femmes.
Okay. Well, more about Lotte Kopecky and what a phenomenal ride she had a bit later. Well, actually, I'm kind of giving way too many spoilers already. I told you who several of the jersey wearers at the end of the day are. So you better get on with your tale of the etape, Lizzie, or else you'll have no surprises left.
It's time for the tale of the etape.
Well, the final stage of this fabulous Tour de France Femmes of Zwift was poised for a right royal showdown on the regal streets of Pau. 22.6 kilometres of tarmac lay ahead of the riders today for the ultimate race of truth in the final battle for the general classification. FDJ Suez's U23 time trial champion Vittoria Guazzini set an early benchmark of 30 minutes and 36 seconds and spent a long time keeping the hot seat nice and warm as she handed it over to her teammate Grace Brown. At the mid-race tea break, the Saint-Michel Aubert 93 team were catching the headlines with their Saint-Michel biscuit design disc wheel. However, there were a few reports out on the course that it looked a little bit crummy.
Oh!
I've even written pause into my tail of the tab.
Beautifully done. Everyone was admiring that biscuit wheel, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, I took
today?
Plenty of photos. It was excellent.
Pre-race favourite and European time trial champion Marlen Reuser had a mid-race frustration when she rapidly caught the UAE team car on a fast downhill, but the extra adrenaline clearly did her no harm as she powered home 40 seconds faster than Brown and laid down the gauntlet with a time of 29.15. The GC Race of Truth up next, tight at the top with a lot at stake in the battle for the podium. Ashley Moorman-Passio was the first of the hopefuls, down on Reuser a significant 1 minute 32 at the halfway check, with Kopecky hot on her wheels and only 30 seconds down. Her race for the podium was on. Van Vleuten, with only 7 seconds to spare to Capecchi at the start of the day, off the pace at 1 minute, 1 second through the check, and the podium was slipping through her fingers. Kasia Niewiadoma in the polka dot jersey was having the time trial of her life. A single second behind Capecchi at the halfway point. Finally, Vollering stormed through in a commanding time as the second fastest rider on the road. Coming into the finish line, and Capecchi caught Molman Passio in the closing kilometre, crossing the line only 37 seconds behind her teammate Reusser and guaranteeing herself a podium spot. The race was on for Niewiadoma. She needed to finish in 30 minutes and 37 seconds to hold on to her second place spot. She attacked the final climb as the seconds and tension rose and crossed the line in 30 minutes, 38 seconds and 21 hundredths of a second. Vollering coming across the line in yellow now, the GC win never in doubt, with a superb second place in the time trial, just 10 seconds down on teammate Marlen Reusser. A 1-2-3 for SD Works today, with Reusser, Vollering and Capecchi dominating the time trial and sweeping up all the podium places. It was a nail-biting wait for the confirmation of the second place on GC, as Capecchi and Niewiadoma were tied on time, 3 minutes and 3 seconds behind Demi Vollering. It was, in fact, yet another 1-2 for SD Works, with Capecchi second place on the general classification by 21 hundredths of a second to Niewiadoma in third. A visibly emotional Annemiek van Vleuten had to settle for fourth place after admitting she hadn't felt herself the past 2 days. Juliette Labousse jumped up one spot to fifth after a strong time trial. Molman Passio, Utrecht Ludwig, Sant Esteban, Bauernfeind and Spratt rounded out the top 10. Cedrine Kerbal of Serratis at WNT wrapped up the white jersey, Niewiadoma adding the polka dots to her third place on GC. A hugely successful week for SD Works saw them take 4 out of the 8 stage wins. The green jersey, a 1-2 in the general classification, and Demi Vollering, Queen of the Ardennes, was now crowned in yellow as the Queen of the Tour de France Femmes. I know it's not Femmes, but I just needed to throw that rhyme in there. Finish with a flourish on this final day.
Oh, I love it. Lizzie, and SD Works finished with a flourish, didn't they? Absolutely. 1-2-3 on the time trial, 1-2 on GC. Marlen Reusser, I mean, we were going to record an interview with Marlen Reusser, weren't we, in the mix zone, Denny? She was in her typical fashion, giving a totally authentically herself, totally honest answers. And when people were saying, oh, you know, how, you know, surprised and delighted are you for winning this time trial? She was like, it was a surprise, was it? She just... So we were like, you know,
What do you expect me to say? Was her answer.
So we were like, okay, well, maybe we'll let Lizzie know. We know Lizzie, your friends have had a fantastic week. If anything, the greatest thing you can do to propel yourself into a chance, propel your chances up of winning a stage of the Tour de France Femme, is to be very good friends with Lizzie Banks.
Be friends with Emma the cycling Norsgaard. Podcast Femina, I think, is the key to it.
Oh, is that also?
Yeah,
it?
I think that's
so,
it.
So, yeah, we had Emma Norsgaard, of course, and Marlen Reusser. But, I mean, yeah, there isn't much to say about Marlen Reusser winning this time trial.
No. She was the out-and-out favourite. I think there's more to say about Vollering's performance being 10 seconds back after her performance on the Tourmalet yesterday, and also Lotte Capecchi's performance as well. You know, she was 37, I think, seconds back in the end. Looking ahead to the World Time Trial Championships, you know, Vollering is closing down that gap to Marlen Reusser in the time trial. It's very, very impressive. And I would imagine that perhaps the skin suit that Reusser had may have been faster. You know, it'd be one that they've tested and one that they've really refined. And of course, Vollering, you know, had this, yes, it's a fast Santini Sim skin suit, but there was very, very late, very last minute alterations to all of the jersey skin suits last night at about midnight. So I think Vollering is going to be really interesting to watch in the World Championships and see how that fight unveils between her and Reusser.
I mean, I think it was obviously a second stage victory for Marlen Reusser after winning last year. I think it's the first rider to win stages in both editions, and the oldest rider in this edition. Ah, oh, I knew it.
Oh,
I knew
damn, our sorry, live Danny. Fact-check. Sorry.
I was just... No, it's all right. I should have fact-checked myself before I said that.
I didn't even have that in front of me, off the top of my head. But just wait for me to finish this beer and then it'll slip through the net.
What I love is also, there's, like we've been joking all week, there has only been 2 editions. So there's a very small amount. That's a very small pool
that you could have checked back. Terrible homework on my front, wasn't it? Anyway... But anyway, I can't even remember what I was going to say now.
Are you going to say that Marlon Reuser is the first rider to win in both editions?
But what's amazing about Marlon Reuser is that she has won in two very different circumstances. So last year, obviously, she made a solo break for the line, and obviously, this was the first time trial that there's been at the Tour de France FAM, as we know it. She took that victory as well.
You know, it's funny because this is, I guess, the first edition that she's actually finished, because the day after she had that stunning victory last year, she actually crashed out with a concussion and so wasn't able to finish the race. So great for her to be able to finish the race with, all the teammates bar Lorena Vibas, who'd obviously had to go home due to stomach flu. But that's interesting in itself, actually, because, you know, coming on to Van Vleuten, who said that actually she was feeling like she had a bit of tummy trouble. There's really something going around the peloton at the moment. A lot of riders have been under the weather this week. Elise Chabé also saying that there's something wrong with her. She's fighting some kind of virus. So,
I'm going to curve this away now before we go too much into the tummy trouble discussion, because of where it got us last time a couple of nights ago when we started talking too much about tummy trouble. At one point, Denny, when we were watching, obviously, we did think that Vollering actually had a chance to take that stage. And, you know, that is kind of what you want from the yellow jersey wearer, don't you? You want to see a kind of fantastic dominating performance that really proves that they are the strongest in the race and they deserve to have that yellow jersey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Vollering proved herself the strongest yesterday on the Tourmalet, and today was a confirmation of that. When we heard from Marlon Reuser in the post-race interview, she said she was asked about, you know, was she nervous about her teammate kind of snatching victory from her, and she said, well, you know, I expected that, you know, that she knew that her nearest rivals were her teammates, and so it proved with the 1-2-3, the first 1-2-3 in the Tour de France FAM, fact checked already.
I believe you. But also
it confirmed actually what we were all thinking at the beginning of the Tour de France FAM, that SD Works might have a stranglehold on the race. And in fact, you know, going into stage seven, it was kind of even Stevens between SD Works and Movistar, and the wheels seemed to be falling off with SD Works somewhat, with all the shenanigans about the time penalty and Danny Stam's exclusion and so on and so forth. And we weren't sure which way it went, but actually in the end, it was absolute domination from that team, wasn't it? I mean, they won the last two stages. They've won four out of the eight stages in the Tour de France. They've got 1-2 on GC. They won the green jersey. It was absolute domination.
And they've had the yellow jersey all week, haven't they? Well, let's hear from Demi Vollering, who gets to take home the yellow jersey. This year's Tour de France FAM champion.
Demi, do you think you've learned anything about yourself? You came in here with a lot of expectation and you performed exactly how you needed to perform. Have you learned anything about yourself?
Yes. This week I was a bit more nervous than I was already the whole season. So this was again that I was like, why is it not going like I did already the whole season? But I think also because this was like my main goal. So I was just so focused, and you need to find a good balance between focus but also some like calmness. And in the beginning of the week I lost a little bit that calmness and I was a bit maybe too focused. So my team was really amazing with reminding me, okay, Demi, calm down, relax a bit and enjoy. And that was sometimes hard, but it was just really nice to have them also around and keep reminding me.
Well, it was a bit of a thrilling time trial. Maybe not for the winner's position, maybe not for the yellow jersey, but certainly lower down, it was a thriller. And actually, Denny, you kind of got a little bit of a taste of how thrilling that time trial might be, didn't you? When we snuck onto the course, didn't we? For another one of your firsts. So let's hear us a little bit earlier in the day. Trying to sneak on to the course. Well, Denny, it's time for another one of your firsts. And that whirring sound that I'm sure listeners can hear in the background is a bike that we've borrowed from Ollie from Hunt Wheels, who is very helpful
Maybe too helpful, Denny, because you're actually going to be taking the bike onto the course today, the TT course that the riders are doing, onto the final, well, it was going to be 600 metres, but it's going to be a kilometre now, isn't it?
At least a kilometre, yeah. I think it'll either be a first time riding the end of a Tour de France stage course, or the first time I get ejected from the Tour de France when an official spots me and I shouldn't be on the course. But let's see see what happens, Rose. What do you think my chances are?
I think probably best chance we've got at the moment, the course is closed. We actually can see right now Anoushka Costa of Uno X going past. She's doing her recon, but we got the caravan is all parked on the little steep ramp that goes up into the finish line. So we're thinking it's the best chance that we've got. We just haven't come across another police van, though. Not a good sign for us, is it?
No, there are police dotted along the final kilometre here. So, yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. But once I get to the caravan, I think I might be able to kind of hide myself in amongst the melee there, even if I can avoid getting a hat put on me or something as I go along.
Well, they'll just think that you look like, of course, the kind of person that would like dancing on a podium for 5 hours around France over time.
I'll just have to do some dancing as I'm cycling up the 10% or more slopes of the final part of the course and try and whip the crowd up like the caravan do.
Well, we're going to try and get you on the course, aren't we, Denny? Which might be our biggest challenge today, but let's see how we get on.
Okay, so we're at the 1 kilometre to go barrier here, and Rose is going to try and shift the barrier a little bit right in front of an ASO official. See if I can squeeze the bike onto the road. So I'm onto the course now.
Good luck, Denny.
Stepping onto the bike, and let's see how I get on. Merci, Rose. Rose is just wishing me good luck there. Through the kilometre to go barrier, and ahead, I can see a real melee of cars. And as I go along, there's a bridge just ahead of me, and after the bridge are the steepest ramps of this course. I think from the road book they go up to 10%. I'm going to get overtaken by a rider here, so let's see who goes past me. Yeah, I am not going to be matching anyone's pace, but so far so good. The policemen on the course are just looking at me as if I'm should be here, so that's good news so far. So this is the beautiful river. I should know the name of the river, but I don't. I'm gonna have to check that out afterwards. And we can see the town in front of us, the spires of churches and buildings. It's I wasn't told much about Pau. I was led to believe it's not the most picturesque of towns, but it certainly has its beautiful parts. And okay, so here come the steep slopes. And I'm being overtaken here by Rihanna Marcus, going way, way faster than me. I've passed the Jayco Alula cars. I've got Jumbo Visma behind me. I'm going to have to get a wriggle, actually. So 500 metres to go under a bridge just in front of the Team DSM car. And now, as you can probably tell from my breath, the slopes are starting to ease up. I may have to change gear. Okay, so I'm going to have to go through this bit quickly because I've got riders right behind me. I'm getting a few rounds. Merci, merci. Oh. Very grateful to have a bit of courage. Well, this is definitely the steepest slopes. Now I can see the 300 metre sign ahead of me. I am in one of the lowest gears on the bike, and it's not easy work holding her. Hey! At the top of the hill, I've been told to stop. Anna Anderson just came past me. A load of EF education riders
I'm not allowed to the finish line, unfortunately, but that last 300 or 400 metres before we get to the 200 metre point really took it out of me. So at the end of a 22-odd kilometre time trial, the riders are going to need something left in their legs, because that is certainly leg sapping. But great to get the encouragement of the crowd, as you heard. They're kind of filling up in good spirits, and yeah, that was quite a moment actually, just waving my arms in the air as the crowd cheered me on. Very grateful I got to do that. What an experience.
Well, I myself have just got to the top of this climb, and it was hard enough to walk up it, so I don't know how Denny... There he is! Okay, let's run over to Denny now. Denny! How was it? Did you make it? I don't even know if you made it. You were so quick. You were so out of my sight almost immediately. I've no idea if you made it to the top or what.
I got to the top of the hill, but not to the finish line. I was directed off to the...
You did all the hill.
Where the caravan. The hardest part, yeah. And that was severely hard. I mean, that's going to be a real leg sapper at the end of the race. But I don't know if you saw, I was getting cheered on by the crowds. Overtaken.
All those cheers were just for you, I know
just
of it.
Only,
well.
Only for me, not for Rianne Marcus, the Dutch time trial champion or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, they were cruising past me and they're just on their warm up. But, you know, I mean, it was just an amazing experience just to even, you know, get a fraction of what the riders get as they ride along the course there and the atmosphere. And you just needed to point the mic at the crowd and they were kind of cheering away. It was just brilliant. What a thrill.
No, it's amazing. I mean, I definitely have. I very rarely recon a course in that way. So I'm giving you a first that I would never bother doing myself. But also, I mean, to be actually riding it with the riders, that's actually a really rare thing to be able to get, because obviously they're warming up and checking the course and they're all coming kind of ones and twos past you, Denny, weren't they? All going past
me, yeah. But I had to weave in and out of the team cars, make sure there's no riders behind me, and I wasn't going to like cause a crash or anything. But yeah, it all seemed fairly relaxed. I mean, as I set off, of course, the caravan was still there, but they slowly made their way out the way. We could still hear the crowd banging on the barriers there, trying to whip up the whoever's coming through next. But yeah, I mean, we're only like 10 minutes away from the start of the time trial, so to have that access was, yeah, it's quite something.
I think you need to go in your customary change of T-shirt.
I mean, yeah, that's probably harder than our Rollerpalooza effort, actually.
Just, no, come on.
I'm sorry, yeah, but that was... yeah, another kind of stunt I've had to pull where I've just got going to end up as a sweaty mess for the rest of the day.
Wonderful.
A very big thank you from us at the Cycling Podcast to Matt for supporting our coverage of the Tour de France and the Tour de France fam over the past few weeks. Very much appreciated, and we're very proud to be kitted out by MAP as well. MAP was founded in 2013, the same year as the Cycling Podcast actually, and in the past decade it's grown from a Melbourne-based company to embrace a global community of cyclists. Over the past few weeks we've been speaking to co-founder and co-CEO Jared Smith, and I wanted to know how he felt when he travels outside Australia and sees a MAP jersey so far from the company's spiritual home.
G'day, this is Jared from MAP, and I'm the co-founder and the co-CEO. Some of the greatest moments I've had at MAP is when I popped up in London or Montreal, and I've been out on taken my bike and I've gone out for a ride, and then in the middle of nowhere, I see someone riding in a MAP kit, and it's just the overwhelming sensation of, oh man, look at that. Like, here I am so far from home and there's MAP out in the road on that person, enjoying themselves, having a, you know, great time. The feeling I get if I see someone wearing a MAP kit, I feel like that I know them, and I wave and I even say g'day and I start talking, and I forget, because when it started I did know everyone that was wearing it and I still feel like I know them. I'll stop and talk and say g'day, love your kit, well done. It's like the MAP family is getting bigger and bigger. And when you talk about the Cycling Podcast jersey, I wear that a lot. It's one of my favourite jerseys, and I get so many comments on that jersey. So I know when you see one out there, it stands out because it's very bright, and it's not just a black kit, it's quite colorful. And I love that jersey, and I can imagine if you see another one on the road, you got to pull up next to them and say good day, because you're like-minded. If you've chosen to buy that jersey, it's they must be listening to the podcast, or fans of MAP, and it's great. It's like brings everyone together, just it's like one big family.
Check out everything MAP have to offer at map.cc.
Well, of course, one of the other riders that we were looking at the beginning in the morning was Annemiek van Vleuten. She obviously came into this as the defending champion for the Tour de France Femme, and we saw that. Well, she seemed to have the legs on the Col d'Aspin yesterday, and then perhaps not the legs that she wanted on the Tourmalet. And it was kind of a little bit confirmed, Denny, today that she's not quite. Not quite where she wanted to be, not quite feeling how she wanted to feel when she finished the time trial today.
Yeah, I mean, as we'll hear in the interview, she couldn't quite explain or put a finger on what was wrong, but she just said she didn't feel quite right. And clearly she hasn't performed in the way that I guess she'd hoped to going into these last two absolutely crucial stages. And the thing is, when what's matter, you need to be on absolute peak form, and she felt she wasn't quite there.
Well, let's hear from her now.
After today, you said that it was like two difficult days. Can you explain why? What happened to you?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to me. Obviously, I didn't have my level that I can have normal. I think, then it's maybe also better to have really like not your best days. Like it was not that I was not pushing. I give everything I had today. So I'm proud of that. Also, I gave everything yesterday, everything that I had, but apparently, I don't know what happened. I didn't have my normal level. And yesterday after the finish, I felt already like a bit strained stomach and not so well. Also this morning, I still didn't feel my normal me. I felt a bit, but I felt like I didn't have a high temperature, so I thought I'd give it a go. And this is what it is.
So to be out of the podium, also it's like another deception today?
I was a little bit how I knew how I felt yesterday. Then you also know that it's hard that you will recover from that in a really short time. So I was still hoping for it and going for it, but I knew that it would be hard.
We saw you quite emotive after the finish line. What was crossing your mind?
Now, I was more emotional for my teammates that they were so nice to be there. I found it such a nice gesture. After, they worked so hard for me the whole week, and then to be there at the finish line, like me, like such a warm welcome. Movistar team is really a warm family, and I had a really good time there 3 years. I think we achieved a lot of beautiful memories, and that's also what the manager told me, and that will not make any difference after this bit disappointing to the fans for me personally and for the team, for the GC, but not in general, because we did win two stages. But I think we achieved a lot together, and that was really nice to hear those words of the manager at the finish.
That was Annemiek van Vleuten there speaking after the finish in the mix zone. And I have to say, though, straight after the finish, one of the most amazing sights I've actually ever seen, probably in bike racing, was seeing all of her Movistar team standing on the finish line, waiting for her to finish, applauding her, shouting, champion, champion, champion. And she was, you could see she was extremely emotional. I know when she was speaking to you, Denny, she kind of referenced the fact that she was thinking about her teammates. And they were applauding her, hugging her, and, just saying how proud they were of her effort today, because it's a phenomenal effort. I mean, we come to expect phenomenal things of Annemiek van Vleuten, and when she falls slightly short of being the most dominant, the most impressive rider, then we feel a bit like she hasn't quite achieved what we expect to achieve, which is ridiculous. So it was kind of a beautiful moment to see her Movistar team out, and also she had so much respect and love for the other wins that have come from the team. Liana Lipper, of course, and Emma Norsgaard, both winning this week.
Yeah, she's certainly leaving a good legacy in her wake, isn't she? And I think that the biggest thing that she's given that team in the time that she's been there is the confidence that they need in order to go forward and, you know, create other winners and understand how to ride in a winning way and understand that mentality. And I think there's so many riders that have been in that team for a really long time that have just grown so much since Annemiek van Vleuten's been there. I mean, I think Paula Patino and Sheila Gutierrez are two riders I could name in particular who just their growth under the tutelage of Annemiek van Vleuten has been huge. She is going to leave a huge gap, huge, huge gap in that team next year. And, you know, she talks there about, you know, taking a sabbatical next year, and we don't know exactly what she's going to do going forward. But, you know, I hope that we'll see her in some form in some team, because she's got so much to give. You know, she started in 2008. She's got so many years of experience, and so, you know, she's done everything. She's really done everything. She's experienced the highs, she's experienced the lows, she knows what it's like to go through it, and she can really bring other people up around her. And that's clearly what we've seen with Movistar. You know, they were not a team that we'd have been talking about winning Grand Tours before she went there, and she has risen the level of the whole team, staff and riders, and I think it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that struck me this week is, you know, not having kind of been on the inside of races before, is just what a great ambassador for the sport she is.
Yeah.
You know, I've just been so impressed with how she's always taken time to speak to the press, even today when she was obviously experiencing immense disappointment. She'd, you know, finished fourth on GC, which is not what she came here for at all, in her final year. She took time to come back to the mix zone well after the race.
Which is not an obligation at all.
No, well after the race had finished.
It's only the Jersey winners that normally have to do that.
And she didn't, you know, and she took time to answer all the questions really patiently. And I don't know if you picked up in the interview, but she was still quite emotional when people were asking about how she felt across the race. And she also talked about, you know, how far women's cycling has come since she started. You know, when she got first, she was got paid €100 a month, she said, when she first started racing, and things have come so far. And you could sense that she really wanted it to continue growing, and she wanted to be part of that growth going forward. So I'm sure we'll see her around in some form or other, even though she won't be racing anymore.
Well, I mean, Annemiek van Vleuten is a rider who's kind of had almost many lifetimes in her career on the bike. I mean, she's kind of reinvented herself several times. I remember going back years ago, like 2016, 2015, and I was making a little project about the Mer de Huy, which is obviously the final climb in Flèche Wallonne. And obviously I went up to Annemiek because she'd finished on the podium not that many years before. And she said, oh, I don't know why you're talking to me. I'm not a climber. And so now, I think Annemiek, I don't know if she was just totally fobbing me off. I did make her do it in the end, but she, I don't know if she's totally fobbing me off. It must have been 2015, because it was obviously pre-Rio Olympics, when she kind of announced herself as a real contender on the climbs. But she also has so many years of experience. And another rider, obviously, that we've seen kind of almost having a breakthrough here is Kashanie Viadoma. I mean, she's also a rider that has been in the peloton for many, many years. Also a rider who feels a little bit like she's kind of had a number of different roles and lifetimes in the peloton already. You know, she was first as kind of young upstart, and then she was kind of a punchy rider, an Ardennes Classics rider, and now she seems to be a much more complete package on GC. Because, you know, today she finished third by very, very narrow margins that we'll come on to a little bit later. But let's hear from Kashanie Viadoma now.
Kasia, another day, another ride where you just rode out of your skin today.
One more time, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
All right. Another amazing ride from you. You really rode out of your skin. That must be like your best TT you could imagine.
Yeah, definitely. It's really nice to actually see that once you put attention to one thing, it actually the work pays off. So that is very motivating. I feel like maybe in the past I was focusing too much on one thing, on like just like classics and not really developing my other strengths. So having changed the perspective with my coach definitely made a big difference.
And how does it feel, mountains jersey, podium place at the Tour de France fan?
feels definitely amazing. Feels amazing because also I know that, I mean, I've been receiving some messages from my friends from Poland and like sending me pictures of their daughters or sisters wearing a polka dot jerseys already yesterday. So that definitely just makes me smile and makes my heart happy.
And obviously it was third on GC last year, third on GC this year, but you must be so delighted with your growth and your performance that, you know, this is, you can only go on from here.
Yeah, definitely, especially that like my classics were, I had more expectations for my classics and I felt like maybe with my trainings I did not do what I was supposed to do, given the fact that like women's cycling is growing so fast and you really have to think more outside of the box and not only repeat the old patterns, because as I said, the growth is so immense and so fast that you have to give more of yourself. So definitely I was happy that before tour I had enough time to actually like focus 100% on my trainings and preparations and little details that would allow me to.
What I think is so confidence boosting there from Kashyna Vidoma is the fact that she put her efforts into the endurance climbs, she put her efforts into being better at time trialing, and actually the results really paid off, Lizzie, didn't they? I mean, I think you've said millions of times before that, you know, Kasia seems to be kind of going for both, she seems to be the leader on the long climbs and she's also the leader on the punchy climbs. And perhaps, you know, it's a mentality thing or a preparations thing that could change the results that she could actually get.
Yeah, and she's really clearly gone and chosen exactly what she wants to prepare for and done it, and it's made a huge difference. I mean, she was ninth place in that TT today, and you know, out of the 100 and whatever riders that were there, and that is a significant result. And that's an absolutely huge improvement in her time trialing, and she wouldn't be on that podium place if she hadn't have put that work in. And you know, I feel stupid now that we said so many times throughout this week and in the
If you're going to say we said that she would lose the podium place, Lizzie,
That's true. I mean,
Lizzie, we're the ones who always ask you for fanciful suggestions, but never put any of our own suggestions.
We talked about who might trip up in the time trial, and I repeatedly said that it may be Nivea Doma's downfall. But I also said that she needed to put herself out there, and that's what she did yesterday on the Tourmalet. So good job, well done for listening to us, Kasia. But I mean, not only did she put herself out there and she knew that it was her best chance of really, you know, having that top GC spot, she also worked really hard on her weaknesses and blimmin' heck, did she make a serious difference on her weakness? Because yes, she lost time to Kopecky on the line, but coming into that halfway check, she was 1.5-2 seconds behind, and it was really, really impressive, especially after the effort she did yesterday, because she was in that valley section on the Tourmalet all on her own. You know, Lotte Kopecky was on the wheel the whole time. I'm not saying Lotte Kopecky didn't do a phenomenal effort, she did, of course, but being so low for that long definitely takes its toll. So big kudos to Kashyna Vidoma, and I think that's really exciting, having her as sort of the old guard, even though she's still quite a young rider, and having the likes of Antonia Niedermayer, who we saw at the Giro, of course, taking a breakthrough win on the Queen stage in the Giro, and Ricarda Bauernfeind, those riders coming through as well. You know, we could see something super exciting from Canyon Schramm in next year's sort of Vuelta, Giro and Tour, depending on the parkour.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows that even though she slipped down one place in GC today, it was still an excellent result for her and for the whole team, actually. And as you say, it really bodes well for the future. I was there when Magnus Backstedt was told that she'd lost out on second place by 0.2 seconds to Lotte Kopecky. But, you know, after the initial disappointment, he was then hugging his, staff and crew, and they were clearly, well, we saw them, didn't we, as we left the car park, absolutely, you know, cheering with delight. They feel that they've had an excellent tour, and so has Kasia.
Yeah, retaining the podium was that goal, really, and yes, she didn't get second, but she retained the podium and took the polka dots as well, so huge achievement.
Well, I was speaking to Beth Jurea, who's a DS at Canyon SRAM, at the beginning, just after the finish, actually, and I said, you know, I was kind of trying to get a temperature of how Kasia might be feeling, because obviously by missing out on by so little, you know, you could be really disappointed. But Beth said, you know, she's really happy, and you know, at the beginning of the week, if you said polka dots and
third on the GC podium, she would have bitten your hand off. And we did see them, as you said, Denny, all of the whole team, all the staff, all dressed in polka dots, celebrating the end. She obviously had her, she was on her polka dot time trial bike today, and I got a, because I've been going around with the Polaroid camera all week on unsuspecting riders. And normally if I'm taking a picture of them and they look a bit unhappy, I have to run away before it makes a really, because it makes a really big flash and then a really big so I have to scurry away before they see what I'm doing. But you know, I got a great snap of her just after the finish line, celebrating with all of her teammates, and she was absolutely elated to have put in that fantastic time trial and got such a fantastic result. But we haven't actually even spoken about Lottie Capecchi, who was the one who pipped her on GC. And it's kind of like, you know, what can we say? Because Lottie Capecchi in no way was a GC rider. You know, we saw yesterday on the Tourmalet, we were thinking, what is she doing? You know, just hanging on the back of that group, not coming to pull for Demi Vollering, but she didn't really need to. It all turns out in the end. And just managing to hold on for so long and then put in a fantastic time trial. Well, let's hear from her, because she gives us a bit of a play-by-play about, you know, how she was thinking, what she was thinking on the Tourmalet as well in this interview.
Lottie, at the beginning of the week I said, what was one thing you could guarantee? And you said, one SD Works stage win. So how does it feel now?
Yeah, that was not a lie. yeah, it's been a crazy week for us. I mean, I'm very proud on the whole team. I mean, Demi wearing yellow, Marlon winning a stage, Lorena winning a stage. Yeah, we have also super good domestics who we really may not forget. I mean, they do a lot of work for us. And also because of this we are this good. And yeah, everybody now is talking about us, but I think a lot of people forget them.
And, you know, how does it feel? You've now got the green jersey. And, I mean, when did you find out about being second on the podium?
Yeah, I thought I was third, but then when I was behind the podium, they showed me the result and said, you're second. I said, no. Yeah, no. So, yeah, it was pretty tight and, yeah, really nice to be second, actually.
Did you have any idea that that stage one crazy attack that you made would be actually key to being second on GC?
No, not at all, because I thought that on Tourmalet would have been on 20 minutes.
How was it? I mean, that was an amazing ride yesterday. Did you know going into it that you had a good chance of, like, staying in the group, or was it just the dynamics of the race that got you up there?
No, before we were like, yeah, I had to try to hang on as long as possible, because as long as I was there, yeah, it was good for Demi. But then I was like, I saw it on my Garmin, I was like, okay, 17k, then I was 12, 10, 7, I'm still here, what the f***? 6, 5, and then Demi went, I was like, ah, Demi. But yeah, she was, of course, free to go. And then, yeah, I was just like trying to hang on. I mean, the team also said, like, you're riding for podium, Annemiek's not that far from you. So I just gave everything till the finish line, and yeah, I think there I surprised myself the most the whole week.
And how has it been wearing yellow pretty much all week, winning green? What's the reaction been back home?
Yeah, I'm very proud wearing the green, the yellow jersey the whole week. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, in Belgium, it's crazy.
have you heard? Had messages from home? The press must be. I mean, the Belgian press always go crazy, right? Yeah. Whenever there's any chance of anything.
I think Riddle can answer this question better.
Yeah, they went crazy for sure.
Official line is they went crazy. Well done, Lottie.
Well, that was Lottie Capecchi, second overall. I mean, that's just a totally bizarre thing, isn't it, Lizzie? We were kind of pegging her for green jersey, and, you know, we were even saying Lottie Capecchi's going to be furious on that stage when Emma Norsgaard won, because she really could have grabbed another sprint victory, and what's she going to feel at the end of the week? But she's going to feel absolutely delighted and surprised like the rest of us.
It's really interesting. I was thinking about that earlier, and, you know, had stage one have panned out differently, and had Lorena Wiebes have taken the yellow jersey instead of her, I don't think we'd have seen this, because I think the fact that she was in the yellow jersey from stage one meant that she was in a protected position. Not that SD Works did any work the whole week anyway, but
in case anyone's forgotten, in case just, anyone wasn't clear, having listened to all of our podcasts every night.
But that was really interesting because, okay, of course, we know that she gained 43 seconds on the GC rivals there. Overall, she gained 24 seconds in bonus seconds. But that 43 seconds didn't actually make a difference back to the fourth place rider, which was Van Vleuten. But I just think that it was having that yellow jersey that was like, okay, well, we've got it. Let's protect it now. Mm-hmm. And so then in a different scenario where she may have been doing more work for the team and then may have then just dropped, or even for instance on the stage when Yara Kastelein won and there was this steep climb to the finish, she wasn't in contention for that, you know, for those podium spots there, and she would have just lost a lot more time. But because she had the yellow jersey, she pushed on. And so winning stage one was the catalyst for her getting second overall, because every day it sort of snowballed and then got to the Tourmalet and she was still in the picture and quite a few seconds ahead. And because of the way the racing happened on the Tourmalet and because the Col d'Aspin wasn't that steep, then actually, you know, there was 17Ks to the finish and she was still in it. And it was only 5Ks to go where it kicked off. So it was only really those last 5Ks where she could lose the time. And then that was when she surprised herself. So it's really interesting, you know, if we look back to the days of Mara Abbott, when we had the very typically skinny climbers, and it's just not how it is these days. You know, all of the best climbers in the world are very strong, very powerful. Longo Borghini, Demi Vollering, an incredibly powerful rider, Annemiek van Vleuten. You know, there's no reason why Lotte Kopecky couldn't reinvent herself. I think she's already sort of done it and become a GC leader.
Hasn't Lotte Kopecky got enough on her plate? I mean, we know that at the World Championship she's doing track and road. Like, let Lotte
maybe
have a break.
Maybe that's how we bring
Lizzie,
her down. We just give her too much to deal with, and then maybe we'll bring her down some way. Otherwise, she'll just beat us in every single race.
Of course, she did also take advantage of a little bit the game playing on the Tourmalet and the race dynamics that was going on. Of course, but yeah, that was an incredible ride from her, and what it's just unbelievable to see her second on GC, isn't it?
Yeah.
And green jersey and second on
absolutely.
GC.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an amazing week for her, and what, as you said, Rose, just what an incredibly versatile rider. She'll be racing track in the world. She said after the interviews that she's going off to Glasgow tomorrow, I think it is, to prepare for that, and then she'll be going back to the road races, where, and you wouldn't put it past her to win the World Championships, would you?
Absolutely. She has a very, very good chance. Very good chance.
Yeah, and finally a chance to race against her current teammates. So
yes.
It'll be a very tasty race.
The cycling podcast at the 2023 Tour de France Femmes is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Few human beings on Earth have what it takes to compete in the Tour. The strain on the body and mind is so great. The specially developed SIS Go Energy and caffeine gels are scientifically formulated to keep both body and mind in peak condition, meaning all you have to do is focus on holding your nerve until you cross the finish line. Developed for pro athletes, available to all. Always fueled by science.
Well, of course, the yellow jersey wasn't the only prize that was decided today, was it? The Pedaleurs de Charme, the cycling podcast Pedaleurs de Charme, was also decided today. And we thank you for your everyone's suggestions. We had suggestions for Cecily Ludwig. She won it last year, so you kind of can't win it twice. Cassia Nieva-Doma, of course. Fantastic performance on the Tourmalet. She's always charming.
But she's got a polka dot jersey, so she doesn't need a cup as
she's
well.
She's got a polka dot jersey.
She's got
exactly.
plenty
and
bike.
We, of course, had Liana Lipper, who takes home a stage win because she had such a wonderful celebration, such a wonderful interview that was just full of joy and happiness. But she takes home a stage win. And also Yara Kastelein of Fenix de Koninck, also a stage winner for being just... all around charming.
The whole family were pretty charming, weren't they?
The whole family were pretty charming. But again, and she also won the most combative rider of the week.
Well deserved. So
yeah,
well deserved award.
Very well deserved. Give us a little drum roll, please, Denny. The winner of the Pedaleurs de Charme 2023 Tour de France Femmes is Marta Troyen of Fenix de Koninck.
Clap, 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 clap.
Now, Marta, you might remember her because she's Yara Kastelein's teammate, and on the day that Yara Kastelein won, she was asked by the Swanier whether she needed to drink more water, keep hydrated, and she said, "No, I'm not drinking anything but champagne." We've tried to give her something to drink her champagne from, because we had presented her with a lovely Stacey Schneider mug. Let's hear that now. Well, Marta, I'm delighted to say that our listeners from the Cycling Podcast have deemed that you are the Pedalers de Charme, the most charming rider in the race, and they've awarded you this mug.
Thank you. Wow. It's nice. I didn't expect it. Thank you.
Well, there's not very many of them. I think the only other winners that have ever had them are Elisa Longo Borghini about 2 years ago, and Cecily Ludwig last year.
The future looks bright.
But yeah, they wanted you to have it because of your fantastic interviews that you gave, saying that you want to drink, you can drink champagne in that mug now, can't you?
Yeah, of course. I will drink this evening champagne and Belgian fries, chocolate. I think we deserve it. I think we did a really good tour with the team, and I really enjoyed it. It was my first Grand Tour. And we had a really nice training camp before, and we only could dream about this tour. We were almost every day on the podium. Yara is a super competitive. So it's really nice. And I was really happy to be proud of this all. And I hope to come back next year and have a new new one.
And I'm sure your music made the difference in the end. Your choice of music and your playlists in the morning.
Yeah, but Sanne Kant is our DJ, so she
give the mug back.
Yeah, she give it, and we all sing, and it's really nice DJ. We are happy with Sanne in the team, so yeah. I really liked the atmosphere in the team and in this tour.
Well, that was Marta Troyen, who, she was just even more charming again, wasn't she, really, Denny? Just so lovely, and I just loved her reaction to hearing about the other Pedalers de Charme and saying that she had a bright future then.
Yeah, I hope she realises just how important that award is.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Because
I love a great reaction also, you know, just someone who was really thrilled to be kind of noted. And Lizzie, but actually, we've actually come across Marta Troyen already, haven't we, this year?
Yeah, because she was third at Paris-Roubaix.
Which is incredible, because obviously she was in that breakaway with Alison Jackson.
Katia Ragusa was second.
Katia Ragusa, yeah. Came second. So it's fantastic. Oh, she's just obviously gone up and up and up this year. From Paris-Roubaix podium to
the Cycle de Charme.
Yeah, I think the cycling statistics sites need to put Pedalers de Charme awards
somewhere
up there, because it's such a big honour, and they're not recognising it enough.
Exactly, and I can never actually remember who's won it in the past, so it'd be helpful for me. Also, we also had other big winners lower down in the GC competition, didn't we? Juliette Labousse being one of them. Obviously
top
a
five.
French favourite, so she gets plenty of attention over here in France. But you caught up with her, Denny, didn't you, at the back of the team buses?
I did, and the atmosphere there was one of jubilation. All of her teammates cheering her in as she rode into towards the team bus. Lots of fans there kind of cheering her on and singing songs about her, and she was absolutely delighted.
Yeah, I'm really happy, especially after the start I had. We said we will see in the end of the week what it gives, and the prize is really good. I gave really everything every day, so I'm really happy.
Take a step back to yesterday. How much frustration was there in the evening? You tried it again, and yet didn't win the time there.
Yeah, I mean, I could be a bit frustrated, but I tried to not think too much about it, and maybe I did too much, but also the others didn't do really a lot, so it's not only on me. And yeah, I was still happy to be with the best and actually to be a bit playing, which was actually nice, and I felt good, so I took confidence out of it, and I could feel the recovery was good, so I just took motivation out of it.
Take us a bit through the time trial. You started and it was quite loud around here. How was it out there?
Yeah, it was amazing. I heard so many people cheering for me. I could not even hear the radio anymore. It was just really awesome.
And time splits, did you have them? When did you know that you have moments?
Yeah, I actually didn't know really because I could not really hear much in the downhill. And but then my DS told me that I was close to Mont Bleu, so I was like, well, must be not too bad then. And then I just gave everything to the end, and I caught Ana Saint Esteban, which was also motivating for me.
Well, that was Juliette Labousse, and she actually started really on the back foot and was really dejected on stage, in tears, in fact, after the finish on stage one, because she had lost quite a chunk of time when Lotte Kopecky attacked on that final climb in that stage. But actually, the time that she lost didn't come into it, did it, today?
No, Rose and I got the calculator out again.
Yeah.
And worked out that the time loss didn't actually make any difference to her GC position on the grand scheme of things, although I'm waiting for a live fact check.
No, I was going to say, you worked out that 43 seconds off of 4:48 was still more than 4 minutes. So, yeah, great job.
Well done. Right, yes. Well done, Denny. It's worth it.
You deserve that
every
second
day,
beer.
Every day our calculator gets bigger and bigger. We actually have a separate vehicle now, just like the publicity
super
caravan
computer
that just, yeah, that just drives around that calculator.
We should get a sponsored by Casio.
That is a great idea.
That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But yes, it was fantastic from Juliette Labousse. And I thought what was remarkable, because so much of this also comes down to psychology, doesn't it, is that she really bounced back, didn't she, Lizzie? I mean, we saw her making attack after attack after attack on the Tourmalet, on the stage that Yara Kastelein won. We saw that she was kind of the driving force. She wanted to get away and make some time up on her rivals. I mean, she kind of had to. Bearing in mind that she'd lost the time already. But it was a really kind of resilient performance, I thought, from Juliette Labousse.
Yeah, even on the second stage, the day after that she'd lost that, well, 43 seconds to her GC rivals, a lot more to Lotte Kopecky, who turned out to be the GC rival as well. Even on the second stage, she was already attacking. She was kind of like, right, I'm going to put this behind me and I'm going to go again. And it's just so important because, you know, shit happens. And you have to be able to deal with it. You have to be able to bounce back. Even if, you know, say you've got a day like the Tourmalet and the Aspen, you know, you might really struggle on one climb and then come back and then be able to smash it on the rest. So just being able to kind of put one bad moment behind you. Even Emma Norsgaard, you know, we heard that at the beginning of her day, she was in such a bad mood, she had to drink 3 coffees before she could even, like, speak to anybody. And she was so tired, she just didn't know how she was going to face it. And then she ended up winning the stage. So it's about just sort of going with what you've got in that moment, and it may change at any time. And, yeah, no, I think it was really great the way that Juliette Labousse bounced back and didn't give up until the end. And she was rewarded by jumping up from 6th into 5th on GC. And that's a huge result at the Tour de France.
Yeah, huge result, and continues a great year for her. Her team had so much confidence in her as well, didn't they? And I think that must have been, you know, enormously helpful because she, as you said, she was so resilient. And she was on the front foot. She wasn't kind of playing it safe. It was nice to see someone attacking, not afraid to attack, not afraid to kind of lose more time throughout the race. So she really kind of animated things. And, of course, she's only 24. Clearly really improved in her time trialing, and you know, when we look ahead to what's going to happen in future tours and who's going to challenge Demi Vollering, you know, I guess she'll be one that we'll be looking to because she's still got room for improvement by the looks of it.
Yeah, obviously you say there that she's only 24. Denny, of course, in the Women's Tour de France, the classification of the young rider jersey is lower than it is in the men's Tour de France. But we did see a fantastic performance from the winner there, Cedrine Kerbal, who's...
Kerbal.
I can't believe I've done that. That's awful. The number of times we've said her name this week. Oh, she's probably the only rider that's got a mention every single day, I would say. She's definitely appeared a lot, and I just totally messed it up on the last... You can see I've already checked out, haven't I? I've already checked out of this podcast. We haven't even finished. Cedrine Kerbal. I mean, she's had the white jersey from the start. She's 22, so she won't qualify for it next year. But she was by far the most popular of all the riders on the podium today, wasn't she?
Yeah, she had a massive fan club with her, kind of lots of Brittany flags waving at the final podium ceremony. Huge cheers for her, probably louder than any other rider got at the end of the race.
And then she went to do her interview with France
to TV, and there was Cédrine. Wow. The whole crowd chanting for her.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely incredible, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. It was. And she seems to have, you know, she's obviously probably had a lot of attention here in France, but she seems to have taken it all with great humour. She's always got time for the media. And, yeah, she's one to watch, I guess, in the future, because she's obviously an excellent time trialist, being French time trial champion. Okay, she, you know, wasn't in the top of the standings today, but as you say, she's a young rider, and that's what the young rider classification is for. So, yeah, it was great to hear from her. And she had a slightly tense battle with Ella Wiley, who, of course, made up time with her on the Tourmalet. So we asked about that, too.
First of all, congratulations on an amazing week. You seem to have the biggest fan club here. How is it to have such a great reception?
Yeah, it's really crazy. I was not expecting as much people cheering for me. My family, my friend, my teammates also would join me in the podium, so it was just insane.
How would you sum up how the week's gone for you and the battle for the young riders classification?
Yeah, in general it was really a good week, quite every day, only a crash who made me a little bit scared. I slept really bad the day after, so the day before Tourmalet. So yeah, in my head I was a little bit stressed about it, but now it's finished and everything is good.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like the battle for the white jersey was kind of heating up yesterday with Ella Wiley kind of in your group, and then eventually she kind of lost you on the climb. Can you talk me through how that went for you?
We stay in contact in Aspin. I think she dropped one time, she came back with a group. She dropped in the downhill and she came back again with a group, and after she tried to attack me a few times. The three first time I came back in TT mode, but the last time at 3K from the finish I couldn't follow. So I finished with 44 seconds after her. But yeah, yesterday was always at 2 minutes.
And will there be celebrations tonight, Cédrine?
Yeah, I think we will all join us with family, friends, and the team for sure. And yeah, we'll have a dinner all together.
Well, that was Cédrine Kerbol.
Very good.
Who I believe also actually, you know, we say that she's from Brittany, there's lots of Brittany flags, but she also lives in Po.
Wow.
Here. So, you know, lots of local fans, lots of friends and family would have been there to cheer her on. And, you know, she's just had that white jersey the whole time. We did hear a little bit from our fellow podcasters, Rebecca Charlton and Danny Shrewsbury, that that actually Cédrine was told Ella Wiley to sort of back off at one point, because Ella Wiley, who was also in the running for the white jersey competition, was kind of like her shadow all week. But you know, that's going to happen, isn't it?
If you're
wearing that all week,
that's part of the mental game.
Who else is Ella Wiley going to be looking at?
I remember when Anna van der Breggen told Clara Koppenberg to get off her wheel, and Clara Koppenberg, like, she broke, Anna van der Breggen broke her mentally. She got off her wheel, and then as soon as Clara Koppenberg did, van der Breggen attacked. So it's, you know, it's understanding when the riders say F you or pee off or whatever. you have to ignore it.
It's part of the game. Around.
You know, you don't want to be inside the women's peloton. It is really not a pleasant place sometimes. There are a lot of naughty words going on in there. Definitely a rated zone. but taking that pressure, and you know, like we saw with Vollering and van Vleuten yesterday, just being able to shrug off the, like, well, you know, I'm not going to work if you're not, and keep your cool, that is all part of it.
Well, we should say, talk a little bit more about where we stand now. With everything wrapped up, we come to the end of our time at the Tour de France. Fam, but looking into the future, next year we have a proper Grand Départ, don't we, in the Netherlands, Denny. And I mean, obviously it's a Grand Départ of like 3 days, but that actually becomes almost half the race, yeah. Doesn't it?
Well, it's only 7 days next year. There's going to be a split stage, apparently, as well, to make it 8 stages. But yeah, so Go on, Lizzie.
Do you know
don't
that currently...
Let, don't, no, Lizzie, don't let him get to the end of the sentence. No, you're right.
I want to listen.
Currently, split stages are not permitted in World Tour.
Ooh,
so
okay.
Either they're not going to do that, or there's going to have to be a change of regulations, which is quite crazy. But no, do continue, Tony. That's what they've proposed at the moment, but currently it's not allowed. So it's just kind of crazy that they've proposed it. But sorry, carry on.
Yeah.
Do continue, but do feel chided.
Well, that's all right. I've felt a bit chided all week, to be honest.
It's kind of crazy that they proposed it despite it being against the UCI rules. So it's just this like really weird thing, because when was
so
the last
we'll
time that you heard a split stage
that.
In a women's or men's World Tour race? Never.
Yeah,
happen,
yeah, yeah.
It
used
allowed.
To be very normal, didn't it? Yeah, but
yeah, very much.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, assume ASO has a thought about that before they announced it. But yeah, three stages in the Netherlands. Of course, the Netherlands had 27 riders, I think, starting the race this week, and more than any other nationality. So it seems, given their domination in racing, it seems fitting that it's starting there. Of course, it's going to be slightly later next year. It will follow the Olympics, but it will be placed before the Paralympics. So, yeah, lots to look forward to. And, of course, I'm sure Demi Vollering will be looking forward to defending her title on home soil.
Very much, and she even was asked a little bit about it, starting in Rotterdam, and she said that her parents are from there, that she grew up in a very early life was near Rotterdam, so it's very much, I mean, the Netherlands is not a very big country, is it, to be honest, but she grew up near there, so, you know, it would be particularly special. But I mean, now we know that Annemiek van Vleuten is retiring. I mean, Ashley Moorman-Patio actually said to me that she's going to do another year on the bike. And so it's like, you know, when am I ever going to not hear Ashley Moorman-Patio is doing another year and another year? But it's kind of been a bit of a changing of the guard, hasn't it, Lizzie? And now I think that Demi Vollering has got this yellow jersey. I mean, this is going to be such a confidence boost to someone that probably doesn't need a confidence boost.
Yeah, although I kind of think that she does. And, you know, it's ridiculous to say because she's been so dominant this year. But what really struck me when listening to her interview earlier was that you could tell by the tone of her voice, the way that she was speaking, how relaxed she was. This was the normal Demi Vollering. Like, the normal Demi Vollering that you would go to the cafe with, go on a Sunday ride with. She was so chilled. It had such a different vibe to her interview to any that we've ever heard before, even after a race, before a race, throughout this whole week. And she was just so relaxed. You know, she was so relaxed. She'd finally achieved what she needed to achieve. She didn't need to prove anything to anyone. And I wonder if this will help her be more relaxed and have less pressure going into things. And, you know, remember how we used to say about Anna van der Breggen that... you know, she was almost too relaxed. She would come across the line and like not really celebrate, like, oh, I've won again and again and again. And maybe we don't want her to be that relaxed, because we still want her to have the enjoyment and the, you know, the pure thrill that you get from winning. But I think that having a little bit of that relaxation from those vibes that we heard post-race going into some of the other races would help her, would really help take that pressure off and help her perform to an even higher level.
Well, we're already looking forward to next year, of course, but it is, you know, we've just finished 2023 Tour de France Femmes. We just wrapped it up. And obviously, Denny, you taking your debut. Thank you very much for being my buddy in the car and on the race. You know, how have you enjoyed it?
Oh, it's been an enormously enjoyable. I've tried to soak it all in. I know we've done this package of firsts, but actually everything's been a first for me, you know, from going up to riders and kind of, you know, trying to get an interview with them when they're just sweating and tearful and emotional after the line, which just when my, you know, I think this is the last thing anyone wants, and trying to get over that kind of feeling. You've been pushing me into the riders, forcing me to ask some questions. So, yeah, it's been a massive education. Rose, you've been brilliant. Lizzie, you've been brilliant. I've really enjoyed myself. And from a sporting perspective as well, it's been a brilliant week, actually. I mean, I think today was slightly anticlimactic, although, you know, it still had its drama with the battle for the podium. But actually, every other stage has been full of surprises. It's been a great week of racing. There hasn't been a snore fest at all on any stage. So from a sporting perspective and from a kind of personal perspective, just getting to know how it all works and just, yeah, just it's just been absolutely eye-opening. I've absolutely loved it.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear that. Denny, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you along, and you know, your insight has been so good, and also also trying to kind of shake off the cautious side of you and force you into driving very fast and dangerously and kind of
I did take us down the Tourmalet in 2 meter visibility last night.
You did.
Apparently a cautious driver is the best driver in those situations.
I did say a cautious driver is good when it's missed like that, but less so when you're kind of up against it to get to the finish. But we can work on that. I'm sure, but you know what is so interesting, you talk about the sporting perspective of this race, but I mean, what I've loved about this race is that it has been so, it's had a very different character to last year's race. And I know there was kind of a, obviously last year's race being the inaugural race in the current form, there was a lot of fanfare about it, so kind of everything got kind of swept up with that. But the character of the racing has been so different, you know, it hasn't just built to the final mountain stage, and we've had so many breakaways succeed. As an overall spectacle, it's been fantastic and different, and it's been great to see a different side to race, a different Tour de France fan already, only in the second edition.
Yeah, what struck me as well was just simply the number of people out on the road, and we saw in the men's Tour de France this year there's been more fans on the roadside than ever before due to the Netflix effect. And you know, I have to say I was pretty frustrated last year when Netflix went out and said they were going to cover the men's Tour de France and not the women's, despite it being the first one and despite there always being so much drama. And you know, last year's edition was so drama filled, of course, with Van Vleuten's tummy trouble right in the beginning of the race. But this year was exactly the same. This year was exactly the same. And you know, it would be such a great way to grow our sport, but you know, putting Netflix to one side, I'm not saying they wouldn't be helpful, but look what's happened without that. It's incredible. You know, I thought kind of, oh, I really, last year there was this sense that like, oh god, I really hope people come out because we've been asking for this for so long, and then they came and it was validation. And then this year there was still that kind of like, oh, you know, maybe they only came because it was the first year, are they actually going to come this year? And every single day, you know, especially stages 2 to 6, sorry, which were during the week, it was phenomenal how many people were lining the roadside every single day. Clermont-Ferrand, just so deep, the roads. Yeah. Mauriac, yes, I couldn't believe, like, I don't know, 10 people deep sometimes by the side of the road. Absolutely phenomenal. And the appetite for women cycling online, on the TV, on the side of the road, is just growing and growing. And it is really just reward for the hard work that so many people, not just riders, staff, media, journalists, so many people have put in for so many years to show how beautiful this sport is, because it's an amazing sport, it's a thrilling sport, and I'm so glad that the Tour de France has been able to show that this week to such a wide audience.
Well, we have right now a situation where a small toddler on a recorder is kind of playing, you know, when an Oscars speech goes on too long and they start, the music starts piping up to try and cut the people off. That's the situation that we have right now, but with a toddler playing a recorder in the street. So I think it's time for us to go. I mean, Denny, we're going to go and enjoy the beauty of Po, which, you know, I have been very much underplaying, because I actually was confusing Po with Gap, which is, Gap is very much a kind of more industrial town where just all the riders, all the teams stay in hotels when you're kind of near the Alpe d'Huez. But Po is actually a really beautiful town full of old streets and beautiful squares. So, you know, we have plenty to enjoy. So we should probably kind of push on, shouldn't we?
We should. We've still got a beer to drink or finish.
We do. And while we finish our beer, we have plenty of thank yous to give. Of course, to our sponsors, to Science in Sport, who have sponsored us so many years. To Matt, who we've heard from Lionel a few times this week. of course, to our producers who do such a wonderful job in turning our podcast around incredibly quickly. Incredibly quickly, haven't they? So,
and cutting out all of the rubbish.
Yes.
Flipping out. That's a big job.
Gosh, yes, it's a big job and nobody wants it. But luckily, Hugh, Adam, John and Tom take it on for us and turn it around. So I think we're probably the quickest podcast out there. Don't want to bring our
we had a photo shoot earlier, didn't we, Rose?
We did have an Anchorman style, you know, in Anchorman where they all of the different news crews fight in the square. It was a bit of that kind of standoff with the other podcasters on the Tour de France. I think we won. We definitely had the biggest hairy.
Keep that in, because I have no idea what's coming next.
We definitely got the biggest hairy windshields, haven't we, Denny, of all of the podcasters that are out here. Of course, massive thank you to Lionel Burney and Daniel Freeb, who have allowed us to come out here and... of course, most importantly, the listeners, thank you for coming along for the ride with us. And thank you to all the people who came up to us on the roadside and introduced themselves. We met Tim and Yahong, didn't we? And Nicola and Jonathan, who were here last year, in fact, and said hello then. And thank you for coming up and kind of making us feel very special as we just get on with our jobs. But I cannot forget, of course, Denny, I've already thanked you. I mean, do you deserve lots of thanks?
No.
Yeah.
No,
okay, fine.
No,
I
think, beginner's luck? No, beginner's welcome, I don't know.
No, Denny, it's been wonderful having you here, and you've just taken to it like a duck to water and just really thrown yourself into it, and I really appreciate you doing that. And it's been just great to have a friend out on the road here at the Tour de France.
No, I've really, really enjoyed it. And thank you, Rose, as well, for kind of taking me under your wing and teaching me how it all works.
Taking you under the wing and then pushing you out into the...
Yeah, telling me to man up.
Throwing you out of the nest. Off you go.
Get on
with
it.
Fly on your own.
If I returned, I'd definitely bring a bigger calculator and work on my maths.
We need a separate a truck. For the,
yes,
you know, it just gets bigger and bigger every day, doesn't it? The old calculator does. Before this totally descends, the barman has brought us a couple of shots for absolutely no reason. Lizzie, thank you so much for being here and giving us the most honest and accurate opinions.
We were saying earlier, Lizzie, in the car, that we can't think of another rider who would say it like it is, like you do, you know, about your kind of fellow pros. And it's just such a rare, joyous thing to have that kind of insight to a race and an insight to the peloton. So we've really, really appreciated it and been very grateful for it, haven't we, Rose?
Absolutely. And even more so, Lizzie, because I know that you're kind of heartbroken to not be here racing yourself. But, you know, all the listeners will just be so... proud and delighted to hear from you every night and give your opinions, and we can only hope that we see you here in future. I don't want you to be talking to you next year. I want to be that you're in the mix zone. You don't even want to talk to us next year.
Oh well, thank you both. It's been a pleasure to be a part of, and I'm really glad that we could make it work. Me being here from home, because it's the biggest and now, in my opinion, the best race on the calendar, and the riders made it so. But without people like you reporting on the ground, we wouldn't be able to share these stories with the people that really matter, who are the listeners and the viewers. And really, really happy to be able to be a part of the team to share those stories. So thank you both. It's been a brilliant week.
Well, thank you two. We're going to have to... what is this, actually, Denny? Have you...
Drink your Sambuca, I think.
I'm not sure what that is, actually. It smells very strong.
Honey-ish.
Honey-ish.
Oh, I'm just going to down it.
Okay, Denny's just... This is fantastic. What was it?
That was delicious.
Okay, it was delicious. Okay, so we're going to head off now to have our shots, which have been filled to the brim with delicious. Thank you, listeners, for following us along. We really, really appreciate it, and all your kind comments have been taken and have been so appreciated this week. Not next month because it's the world, but until September, we'll reconvene then.
The Cycling Podcast was created in 2013 by Richard Moore, Daniel Freeb, and Lionel Burney.